Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. We humans are incredibly sentimental creatures, and oftentimes we get attached to certain objects that mean more to us than others. Something most everyone gets attached to at some point is a blanket. Whether it's a particularly nice one, one given to us by a loved one, or more commonly, one from our childhood, a blankie. That's just what storyteller Ginger Parkinson has to share today in her story about a family trip and her sister's blankie. Here's Ginger.
Hello, my name is Ginger Parkinson, and I'm going to tell you a story that comes from my life, the blankie tale. I grew up in a family of five blankie-loving little girls. My oldest sister, Holly, she had a blankie and she loved it. My older sister, Crystal, had her blankie and she loved it. I had my blankie. I loved it. It had a lamb and a frog on it and it was yellow. And I don't know what lambs and frogs have to do with each other, but it was my blankie and I loved it. My little sister Heather had her blankie. She loved it, but my baby sister Elle. Oh, my baby sister Elle loved her blankie. When Elle was just a toddler, my mother would lay her down, and if she didn't have her blankie in her hand, she would scream and kick and cry and howl until my mom would say, "Girls, girls, go find the blankie." And they would bring the blankie to her, and my little sister Elle would wrap the blankie around her wrist, take the soft satin edge, and rub her cheek, and she would be asleep in 5 minutes. When Elle would play with her cousins, she would take her blankie over her shoulder. And one day, her cousin, Matt, looked at her and said, "Elle, why are you carrying around your blankie?" And she pushed him to the grass and said, "I love my blankie, and my blankie loves me." And he said, "You can bring your blankie." When we went to church, the blankie went to church. When Elle went to preschool, the blankie went to preschool. Elle took her love for her blankie to a whole new level, to blankie worship. Ah. Well, one day, my dad sat all five of us girls down, and he said, "Girls, we're going to go on vacation to Disneyland." And the blankie negotiations began. My dad sat with my sister Holly. She really wanted to bring her blankie on vacation, but in the end, it was Dad 1, blankie 0. He talked with my older sister Crystal. She wanted to bring her blankie, but in the end, it was Dad 2, blankie 0. I was going to hold out strong. I was going to bring my blankie. But in the end, it was Dad 3, blankie 0. And with Heather, it was Dad 4, blankie 0. And then my dad had to negotiate with Elle. He sat down with Elle. He says, "Elle, you don't really want to take your blankie to Disneyland, do you?" "Yes! I love my blankie, and my blankie loves me." "Elle, do you really think Mickey Mouse wants to see your blankie?" "Daddy, that is a great idea. Of course Mickey Mouse wants to see my blankie. Mickey Mouse will love it as much as I do." "Elle, what if you lose your blankie?" "Don't be ridiculous, Daddy. I would never lose my blankie because I love my blankie and my blankie loves me." And in the end, it was Dad 4, blankies 1. And all of the sisters were glad at least one Blanky got to go to Disneyland. The day for the vacation came. My mom and dad put the suitcases on top of the station wagon, the family vehicle of the 1970s. My mom and dad sat on that bench seat in the front seat. My two older sisters sat in the second bench seat. And then me, Heather, and Elle, the little ones, we sat back in this back flat play area because nobody wore seatbelts and car seats hadn't even been invented when I was that little. And we started playing and Elle took her blankie and we put it over all three of us because, you know, everything is more fun in a tent. So we drove and we drove and we drove and we drove and we drove. And we got to a town called Las Vegas. We drove down the strip. We had never seen anything like that before. Lights blinked on and off. It was Christmas on steroids. We had never seen anything so classy in our entire lives. And after we drove down that night on the strip with the blinking lights, we drove off the strip and we drove to a really small old motel with an empty swimming pool that on its marquee it said, $9.99 a night. And that's where my family stayed. And that night, we all got in bed and Elle got in the couch bed that they pulled out. And she wrapped her blankie around her and with the soft edge, she started to rub her face. And then she did what she did every single night. She wiggle, wiggle, wiggled, and the blankets on the bed went up, up, up. Wiggle, 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 up, up, up. Wiggle, 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 up, up, up. And so in the morning when my mom said, "Girls, get up," Elle wasn't up where the pillows were. No, she was down in the bottom of the bed where the stinky feet go. And my mom said, "Girls, get up," and we popped up out of bed like popcorn popping. We were so excited. We put on our matching red, white, and blue short sets, all five of us. We all got our hair put in pigtails with red, white, and blue bows. We were a Mormon family. And we got back in the car. We put the suitcases up on the roof, and we drove and we drove and we drove and we drove until we got to Harbor Boulevard, the road across from Disneyland. And we started driving down that street. But back in those days, it was just tiny little motels, not big fancy hotels. No, they were little. And we started to turn into a motel that should have said $9.99 a night, but didn't. And Elle said, "No, no, no." And my mom looked back to me and said, "Ginger, what did you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything." She goes, my blankie, it's gone. It's gone, my blankie, it's gone." And the car went silent. Everybody went to work. My mom in the front bench seat looked above the seat. She looked beneath the seat at her feet and underneath her seat that she was sitting on. No blankie. My two older sisters, they looked above the seats, underneath the seats, and underneath their seats. No blankie. And in the back flat play area, it was obvious there was no blankie. And my mom said, "Oh, Elle, don't worry. I am sure your blankie is just in one of the suitcases." Crisis averted. We parked our car. We went up into our room. And we took the suitcases and we put them around the edge of the one of the beds. And my mom opened every single one of them. She didn't leave this to anybody else. The blankie was so important. Did he search through one suitcase? Click. No blankie. She searched through a second suitcase. Click. No blankie. Searched through the third suitcase. Click. No blankie. Click. No blankie. Click. No blankie. It was tense in that little motel room. And then my dad said something so helpful that only a dad could say it. He said, "OL, that blankie is so old and so tattered, it's time for you to get rid of it anyway." And all five of us little girls heard, "Old, tattered blanket, get rid of it." And we all started to cry, because if the baby of the family's blankie was old and ready to be thrown out, our blankies were toast. And my mother looked around this hotel room and went and looked at her husband. And then, well, mothers have magic. She said, "Girls, put on your swimming suits. There's a pool here." And so soon four of us were splashing and playing in the pool, but Elle, she just sat by the edge of the pool with her toes barely touching the water. And she cried. She was crying so hard that she was making that pool as salty as the sea. And that night we went to bed, and Elle took the comforter on the bed. She wrapped it around and she tried to rub it, but there were all these little pills on it and it scratched. But she did wiggle, 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 up, up, up. Wiggle, 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 up, up, up. Wiggle, 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 up, up, up. In the morning, we got up. We dressed in matchy Disney t-shirts and shorts. We had matching bows in our hair again, and we went to Disneyland. We were there before the park opened, and we were excitedly waiting to be let in, but Elle just looked down at her feet. We made it through the turnstiles, and then we were blocked off at Main Street before the park completely opened for reals, and Elle just looked down at her feet. The rope was dropped and we ran. We ran to Tomorrowland, to Space Mountain. It was the year Space Mountain opened. And we got in the line and Elle looked down at her feet. We went on Space Mountain. We got off, then we ran to the Matterhorn to get on that ride. And Elle looked down at her feet. And my dad realized that a four-year-old could completely destroy a Disneyland vacation if something didn't change. So he knelt down and started to talk to Elle. He says, "Elle, what ride do you want to go on?" "Dumbo." "Okay, let's go on Dumbo." And as we waited in line for Dumbo, he said, "Elle, what is wrong?" He said, "Oh, Daddy, I lost my blankie. And I love my blankie, and my blankie loves me, and I'm never going to be happy ever again." And then my dad said, "Elle, what if I told you I would help you find your blankie?" "What, Daddy? You would help me do that? Yes, Daddy, let's go right now." And she tried to grab his hand and go out of Disneyland. She was done with, but Dad said, no. "Listen, first we have to do Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm, and then we'll go look for your blankie." And so Elle, knowing that her dad was going to help her find her blankie, got on Dumbo and made him fly high in the sky. And we spent 3 days in the Magical Kingdom. of Disneyland. And then we went to Knoxberry Farm. And then it was finally the day that we took our suitcases, put it on top of the station wagon, and we started to drive. And we drove and we drove and we drove until we got to the town of Las Vegas. But during the middle of the day with the lights flashing, it's not nearly as classy as at night. And we drove down the strip and then we turned off the strip and we went to the hotel that said $9.99 a night. And as we started to curve in, she says, Daddy, 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 I remember, I remember. I know where my blanket is. It's in the bottom of my bed. Because I went wiggle, wiggle, up, 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 wiggle, wiggle, up, up, up. It's in the bottom of the bed. The car was already coming to a stop. Dad said, you girls stay here. And he went to talk to the receptionist. He talked with the receptionist for a minute. It was hot inside that car because it was Las Vegas and 103 degrees. And then my dad and the receptionist walked out of the where you check in, went to the through the side of the motel, and there was a little portico where you could walk through and go back behind where the laundry was done. And my dad followed the receptionist inside that station wagon. It was pins and needles. Is it going to be there? Are we going to find the blankie? What's going on? We could not breathe. And then my dad walked out of that portico. He made eye contact with my mom. He made eye contact with all five of us girls. But Elle, she made eye contact with him. And when my dad knew he had everyone's attention, he took the blankie and he waved it above his head. The car exploded with an atomic bomb of joy. Elle bounced out of the back play area, out the door, ran across the kind of hot, squishy tar of the tar because it was so hot, and jumped up into her dad's arms and said, Daddy, Daddy, you saved my blankie. I love you. And I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. And we got back into the car. And Elle took her blankie and she wrapped it around her hand. She took the soft edge and she just rubbed her cheek and she just kept hugging it and saying, I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. And I don't know, but we were a family of five little girls, and that refrain, well, we started to make a song about it that went like this. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. And when my mom and dad were about to go batty with hearing that refrain, we started to make up verses that went like this. When I hold my blankie tight, my blankie makes me feel all right. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. When I go out to play, my blankie's with me every day. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. My dad tried to throw my blankie away. I cried so hard I made him pay. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me. I love my blankie and my blankie loves me.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Ginger Parkinson, for sharing her story. Ginger is a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild. Be sure to check her and the guild out at UtahStorytellingGuild.website. If you'd like Ginger to perform for you, she is available for festivals, schools, and libraries. During Halloween, she can be a witch, and at Christmas, she can be Mrs. Claus. She can be reached via email at gingerparkinson@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.